Last year, we had Robert Elder in studio to talk about his book, Hidden Hemingway, a book that explored the Ernest Hemingway archives in Oak Park. Hemingway grew up there, a lot to learn about his upbringing in this area. But this just in, a new revelation. That's right, Robert Elder just published a piece in the Paris Review, Unearthing, a new series of letters that Hemingway sent to an unrequited love back home when he was volunteering for the Red Cross in World War I. What? New works by one of the most mysterious yet explored authors of our time, it looks like. And it could rewrite what we know of Ernest Hemingway's early days. Robert Elder back in studio with us. Thanks for being here. You're a literary sleuth.
A little bit, yeah. The Hemingway detective. I've sort of like fallen backward into it.
This story, I mean, I feel like we are in the presence of what might be a new Cable series, the sort of tracking down the world of Ernest Hemingway. But this really comes out of your detective work to realize that there was more that was out there you just didn't know about.
Well, right. Well, I mean, I had done sort of parallel to the book, I'd done a piece for the Chicago Tribune about this poem to a woman named Annette DeVoe, who is this woman he held a torch for. And as I dug more, I kept seeing Annette DeVoe next to the name Frances Coates in his letters. And he always talked about, you know, I have good taste in women, Annette DeVoe and Frances Coates. So I just tracked down Frances Coates' family. And I got a hold of her granddaughter, a woman named Betsy Fermano out in Boston. And I said, hey, did your grandmother ever date Ernest Hemingway? Oh, yeah. And the thing
yeah.
is, like,
who's
that,
this?
That fundamentally changes the biography because even his classmates said, no, he never dated in high school. Girls were not interested in him. He was not interested in girls.
Oh,
so that's a fundamental change.
Okay.
And then she says, yeah, in fact, I have a couple letters here, at which time my like heart skips because, I mean, they're from 1918, and letters from that era don't exist sort of outside the family. So it's him being flirtatious with this girl who, you know, I say in the Paris Review that, you know, he was squarely in the friend zone. But, you know, they went to operas together, they went to dinner together, but he just could not get out of that.
Yeah, so they're not sort of sonnets. They're not love letters. He's not like, I love you more than I love
cake.
He's
trying to make her jealous, right, though. Like, he's saying things like, you know, now I can write love letters in Italian. And, you know, I can't say in English my treasure, but mia tesora, you know, just flows out of the pen. And the implication is, would you like me to write you love letters? And she's not biting. And he's trying to make her jealous by saying, you know, there's all these beautiful women here. And he's talking about, you know, how he's tested all the beer, which, again, is a rebellious thing because Oak Park is a dry town.
So he's sort of showing off.
He's showing off. And
he's
again,
becoming worldly.
Yeah. And he is so sort of self-deprecating and charming. And he's talking about, you know, so he was a volunteer ambulance driver for the Red Cross in World War I. And he was in Italy. And he talks about, you know, this injury. He got a massive injury. You know, he was caught in a mortar attack. He had 227 wounds, shrapnel wounds. And the guy next to him dies. And the way he sort of talks about it in this letter is, yes, I got into an argument with a mortar shell, and the mortar shell won. So he's being sort of self-deprecating. And he's trying to make her jealous. And it's sort of an intimacy and a boyishness you don't see anywhere else.
So this is, I mean, it truly is. I mean, when you talk about it sort of unearthing, I mean, unearthing might be the right way. Not unlike an archaeologist, you're piecing together the world and to find this letter, it sort of sheds light on an area that we didn't know much about with Ernest Hemingway.
Well, and you know, this is one of the reasons I love my wife. She texted me just before and she said, did Justin just compare you to Tupac?
Yeah.
And it is sort of like a lost track because it's a different voice. Sandy Spanier, who's the she's the general editor for the Hemingway's Letter Project. I said, okay, keep this under your hat, but tell me what I have. And she said, you know, it's a fascinating find and it's extremely rare. It's a really fresh view of him. And she says, you know, it'll be of great interest to any future biographer.
How do you, as an investigator and as someone who, you know, has put together works, how do you authenticate that? I mean, do you automatically, when you start reading the letter, go, oh my God, this is Hemingway?
Yeah.
How do you,
yeah.
I mean, is that
yeah.
pretty much?
Well, not only that, so you have you know where it came from, and it's also on Red Cross stationery, which he also wrote on to other people.
Yeah, right.
It's the right period. It's the right set of relationships. And also, it's his handwriting, because I don't know if you've ever seen his handwriting, but it always slants almost off the paper. So it hit all the hallmarks. And then also, you know, it's not actually just these two letters. The woman who he was writing to, again, her name was Frances Coates. Her family called her, and her friends called her Effie, F-E. She wrote this 10-page remembrance of what it was like to grow up with him. Like, that is super rare, to have an intimate sort of portrait of him
so
and his family.
So she was aware of his fame. As he got older, she wrote about him.
No.
Or collected.
Well, she always kept track of him.
Yeah, kept track. That's right. Yeah.
But, you know, she was a locally famous opera swinger. She was a danseuse, which meant she would perform sort of mini operas. She would tell the story of an opera. She helped found the Three Arts Club locally.
Oh, okay.
She lived in Hinsdale for a while. She lived in Oak Park. So she was a social fixture. She went to Northwestern University. But when Carlos Baker, Hemingway's first biographer, reached out to her, she sort of was uncomfortable talking about him. I think part of she didn't want to sort of add to the cult of Hemingway. And the other thing was, you know, during that time in her life, it was painful to remember because her mother had a long illness and she died very young. So it was not an easy thing for her to remember. So again, she wrote Baker this letter that she never sent that's 10 pages long. And it's a lot of detail about what his mother was like, you know, this majestic woman who moved like with great authority, like a battleship. And also, you know, she talks about Hemingway in ways that are not, you know, particularly flattering. You know, she talks about his the thing she recognized him in as a boy. She recognizes this jealousy that never went away. And in fact, I'll quote it. Quote, "The inferior complex remained to the end. The inferiority complex remained to the end. And with it came the braggadocio and the need to become somebody to himself. A quick and deadly jealousy of his own prestige and a constant and consuming need for applause."
Wow.
She's a great writer, isn't she? So it's, again, you get his view of the world, and you know he's writing it because the two letters we found, he's writing it to her when he's wounded. In fact, he talks about, you know, writing on a dinner tray by candlelight that's stuck
bayonet,
in a bayonet,
right,
you know,
yeah.
Which probably not true, but it's still a nice image.
Yeah, but he writes it.
Yeah,
I mean there's something, you know, there's something of a cottage industry to find out more about Ernest Hemingway and his life. I mean, you mentioned it, the Hemingway letters,
yeah.
You know, there's boards, there's other things. I mean, how influential or how important is this unearthing? I mean, are we talking about rewriting what we know about Ernest Hemingway's history?
I think that remains to be seen, but in the just scratching the surface, her name shows up all over his work. So Francis, and Francis with an E, not with an I. You know, he has a famous short story called The Short Happy Life of Francis Macomber. Also, whether he meant to or not, there's a bit from his novel To Have and Have Not, where Effie sees herself. In fact, she is sort of commenting on this in this letter, and it's a piece where she recognizes her and her husband being caricatured. And I'll read a little bit of it. So this is Hemingway from To Have and Have Not. "The fiancé is a skull and bones man, voted most likely to succeed, voted most popular, who still thinks more of others than of himself and would be too good for anyone except a lovely girl like Frances. He's probably a little too good for Frances too, but it will be years before Frances realizes this, perhaps. And she may never realize it with luck. The type of man who is tapped for the bones is rarely also tapped for bed. But with a lovely girl like Frances, intention counts as much as performance." So it's all over. And he actually uses, in a really early short story,
wow,
up in Michigan, he uses her her middle name and last name, Liz Coates, in this really sexually charged short story. In fact, it was almost not published because it was sort of too graphic. So
it's like this is like Illuminati stuff you're dealing with here. You're unearthing some stuff.
But she pops up everywhere. And so I think a next generation of scholarship can probably uncover a little bit more. But I was just amazed how much she permeates.
Well, I mean, you explored the, you did a lot of exploration. You've mm-hmm. done a lot of investigation for Hidden Hemingway. Where does this rank in terms of finds? I mean, for you, I mean, because a lot of this stuff you knew about and you kind of, you pieced it yeah. together for the book, but this is something that you personally went and sought out.
Well, and I didn't know it existed. I didn't. So I didn't know it was there to find. I just stumbled into it. And actually, I stumbled into it, and it was the best possible scenario. Something that nobody else knew, that revealed that something that no one had ever even thought of.
Yeah.
So it's been amazing. We've gotten a lot of like really amazing, unexpected coverage. And I'm sort of inundated with phone calls and emails now saying, like, okay, what's the status of this? Where is it? Can you give me her email address? It's been amazing.
Yeah, and it also, I mean, from the letter that she didn't send, mm-hmm. and even the work of Hemingway's letters to her, I mean, how, in your estimation, as someone who's really piecing together the biography of Ernest Hemingway, how much does it change your perception of the man?
It helps me see him as someone who's softer, because for so much of his life, he was a scoundrel, a very colorful scoundrel. But in general, he betrayed everybody who ever helped him. You know, there was a reason he was married 4 times. He was a difficult personality. And I forgot who told me this, but I always remember it is we see people more clearly when we see them as children. And seeing him as a 19-year-old young man helps me
yeah.
sort of carve out his psychology. And it's nice to see him in this light, especially because we know what comes after.
Well, I mean, that's the issue with his story. For those not familiar, I mean, he's an enigmatic character, but he's all, like you said, a sort of a charming scoundrel. But, I mean, he commits suicide in 1961 or so?
Yeah. I mean, and after a long, you know, long bout of fighting
yeah.
depression and alcoholism.
A ton of demons. I mean, this. Yeah. I mean, that's part of the allure of the story is you're like, I mean, he wrote some amazing stuff from Old Man in the Sea mm-hmm. to other, but it really is this sort of like this tortured character behind these works. So to get a not only a glimpse of what he was like when he was younger, but to read what Effie mm-hmm. and Frances thinks of him, and what she thinks might have, you know, like the what you just said about the idea of what he's trying to impress himself or yeah. whatever, it has to shed some light on his story.
It does. Again, it is a fresh view of him. And again, this is
so
not from me. This is from Mrs. Spanier. But it is it's sort of something I never expected. And occasionally, you know, I sort of fell into the Hemingway world. You know, I was going to do one book. And then, you know, I found this poem, and then I found a note that suggests he had an affair with his sister-in-law.
Right.
And so we find, like, these little pieces, and they just keep finding me. So, no, it's been fun. It's been illuminating. I don't know how much more I'm going to do, because I really have to move on. I got to move on to the next book.
Maybe this is Hemingway's way of saying, no, you can't move on. There's still a lot
more. It's like
more.
The mafia.
Yeah.
It's like, just when I try to get out, they pull me back in.
I don't know, man. There's some extracurricular going on here. For you to be able to find that and change it, I feel like there's some spirits involved here. You're unearthing not only this letter, but you're gonna find out. You're gonna figure out who Ernest Hemingway for the whole world. I love it. Robert Elder, writer, editor here in town. His book, Hidden Hemingway, explored the Ernest Hemingway archives in Oak Park. And he just wrote for the Paris Review this story of unearthing new letters from Ernest Hemingway when he was a 19-year-old,
mm-hmm.
sending to Frances
Coates.
Yeah. And she didn't respond, or she responded, but we don't have those letters.
She did.
Well, that's the next one.
Yeah. No, she responds just a little bit. And the thing that's amazing is in the letters, she talks about, that letter you wrote me in Kansas City. So there are letters that
yeah.
are possibly still out there for people to see.
All right. Download Nation, I think we need to scrap together some money for Rob to just go around the country. Let's just give him some money and a car and let him go find out what he can about Ernest Hemingway. Robert, thanks for coming in. Thanks for telling us this story. If you get any updates, anything else, let us know.
Thanks, man.